talking to people.
Yeah. It's tough for us. It's funny, we're laughing because it's tough for us to get from room to room. Because we keep passing Sissy, Allison, Emma, everyone.
Yeah, pushing and shoving.
It's like, hey!
No, it's Old Home Week. You don't hear the cackling like, oh my God, somebody's
Yeah.
Well, you were down in that Louisiana town, right? During the filming?
Mississippi.
Was it Greenwood,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Greenwood, Mississippi.
There's not much to do there, right?
Well, there's a lot of eating that can be done.
Yeah.
If you're not vegan. If you're vegan, you can just lose a lot of weight in that town.
I drank a lot of sweet tea, and I still gained a lot.
You did gain weight, yeah. You did gain.
But I had a great apartment that I would cook and have. I would cook for my friend Octavius,
so which does not know how to cook. A vegan cooking for a non-vegan was very interesting, but it turned out to be very delicious. I mean, I actually called her. How did you make that kale again? Because
you've never doled out Crisco in your life.
Oh, honey,
even filming that scene. Did we have a camera there filming behind the scenes? Filming that scene was hysterical because that was the most dramatic, like, of the dramatic scenes, anything, that scene was so scary. Because she didn't know how to touch the pan, what you do with the bag. And every time, before action, she'd be like, what am I doing? I gotta get this right.
Because I had asked Tate, I said, what kind of cooking am I doing in the scene? And so when the lady came to teach me how to make the chicken, it was that morning, and I had just asked her, would a real cook just dump all the chicken in there and, you know, and she said no. And during one of the takes, we ran out of dialogue, and we still had like 19 pieces of chicken. And I said, just throw it all in there.
So do you have like a source food consultant or something?
They had a cook who was like, she did all of the real cooking. Like, I only cook chicken and you do all the other cooking.
Yeah. Well, no, but we see the aftermath of what's like.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, you grew up in the South, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you managed to avoid the
teacher. I'm from a large family. I have seven or six siblings, and so I'm next to the youngest. So I never. My mom tried to teach me, and I realized I did not have the inclination, I should say. Because you know what's funny? I think there was a part of me that thought, well, what if I wanted to cook something, I could just call home and ask her how to do it. And yeah, there's a lot more involved, I think, than just passing some love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've heard a Rashomon tale, I guess. We've heard it in different angles of who met who and who were all who's best friends to start this project. So why don't you take it?
Well, Tate Taylor, the director, and Brunson Green, one of the producers, are really close friends of mine. We've known each other for about, I say 15, but it's closer to 17 years. I'd rather say 10, because it makes us all look much younger. And Anna O'Reilly, I knew, who plays
Elizabeth.
I'm like, who does she play? She plays Elizabeth, Mae Mobley's mom. And Tate didn't know her, and I didn't want him to know that she and I knew each other really well, because I didn't want that to hamper her getting the part. And Jessica and I met, actually, at the audition, and became really good friends during filming. And Viola and I met, we had worked together once before, but we actually became really good friends during the filming. And Allison, Janie and I have known each other for about 10 years. We're really close friends.
That's very cool. It's amazing when you just met at the audition, because you think
we've known each other all our lives.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing about being an actor is the people that I get to act with. You know, I always search for those relationships, the kind of invisible thing that happens on a set between two people. And when I came in, I loved the part of Celia, but when I came in to read the character and reread the scene, and it was just like, it was just kind of electric,
yeah.
You know, that you know, and we just love each other. And then as soon as we finished the scene, we just kind of looked at each other, and she said, I love you. And I said, I love you. And like, the director and the producer were like, okay.
They loved her too, and the minute she left, Tate said, I think we found her. I'm like, you think?
I mean, it really was. I knew immediately at that moment, and I fought so hard, because I was filming another movie,
yeah,
Texas Killing Fields, in a swamp, and like all like night long, you know, all, we're on night shoots, and then I had to fly back to test again after the audition, and so there was so much, both of us actually were the unknowns of the film. When we made the film, it was, you know, everyone's like Bryce and Emma mm-hmm. and Allison and Sissy,
Octavia,
and they were like, hey! So we both fought really hard to play these roles.
What about playing and getting opposite people, you know, standing up at the Oscars and all the rest of it? I mean, was that a big obstacle coming in? Or just like,
well, I mean, most of my stuff's with Octavia, and before this, you know, my very first film was with Al Pacino. He directed it.
I've heard him.
I'm a little known guy named Al. Expect big things from this Al Pacino. You might make something. Yeah, you heard it here first. I always just try to follow the actors. And so when I met Octavia, I just knew how brilliant she was on her mini, and I was following the actor.
Oh, please. You know, for me, I was intimidated because with Viola and Sissy Spacek, I mean, I'm like, oh, my God. So it was a breath of fresh air to actually be in a scene and not, like, feel... but the wonderful thing about Sissy and Viola is that they're very disarming. Like, you go in and you can tell if people are fans of yours because you're supposed to be in a scene. And absolutely, I deliver the lines this way during the rehearsal of the scene. And I'm like, oh my God, I might need to act. I might need to, you know. But with Jessica, it was just literally, hey! And it was just, you know, it was. So I was intimidated, but they were also the most gracious and wonderful cast members. So.
So did you know about this the entire time Kate was working on it?
Oh, yeah, I knew that I knew Kitty when she was writing the book. I didn't know what she was writing about. And I knew that when she finished it, Tate and Brunson had optioned it. And I knew when he was adapting the screenplay. So I kind of...
Tell them about your first meeting with Kitty and your diet.
Well, Kitty had just decided that she was going to be writing the book. And she knew the voice of Aveline was pretty much going to be inspired by her childhood caregiver, Dimitri. But I don't think she knew who Minnie was going to be until she met a very chubby, about 100 pounds heavier woman who was on a diet, who didn't like to be hot, and we were in New Orleans. It was August in New Orleans. Okay, it was me. And it was funny because we stayed at this hotel, and they were all having biscuits and jam, and I probably had started my diet that day, but the first day is always the hardest, and they were saying, we want to go shopping. I'm like, we're not going shopping. We're going to go have breakfast, because you guys had breakfast, and they're like, chubby, and she has that attitude. But it was really funny. I'm like, when a person is hungry, especially this person, there's no telling what you're going to get. But yeah, so I sort of inspired the character of Minnie.
What were y'all doing in New Orleans?
Vacationing. Of course, I abandoned that diet by the end of the day. By the end of the day, I was eating shrimp po' boys and fried oysters, you know, and I could have should have just had that biscuit that morning, but my life wouldn't be where I am today if I had been
maybe happy.
No, yeah. Minnie would not have been Octavia.
A two-hour diet.
It was about a six-hour diet. it was 6 hours. I made it 6 hours strong, but then I just said, oh, well, we're on vacation.
You said your family's from the South. Mm-hmm. Have they experienced some racism or some stuff you can see in the movie?
I I'm sure they have. I don't think very many people anywhere have it, but, you know, I'm from a very young family, as in my siblings and I, so...
But your grandma, your uncles, your aunts?
I'm sure they have. It's just not anything that we ever have talked about, quite honestly. I grew up during the 70s, and so I didn't experience the South that is prevalent in the film. So, you know, I jokingly say thank God for them. I don't think the 60s could have survived me.
Do you think it's remarkable that they never talked about it?
I'm not close with my mother's family, so that, I'm sure if we were close, we'd talk about it. But my mom, you know, actually taught us about the civil rights movement, and she would never say that this happened to me, but I'm sure the reason she taught us is because she perhaps had some, you know, instances where, you know, racism had occurred. But again, she also wanted us to be prepared for the world. And being that that was part of her history, you never know where we're going in history, so, or in the future. So she wanted us to really know. And she taught us. But let me tell you, teaching someone at age 5 doesn't have the impact that, you know, that when you're preparing for a character to recreate that time period. I actually think everything that I know now about the civil rights movement is from doing research for this film, because I was able to absorb it more. I think I was ready to absorb it, I think.
Yeah, and it's tough because you are representing a group of people,
right.
So you want to get it right.
Absolutely.
You know, what I love about Mimi is that, I'm trying to develop the question here, but her character, you know, is people didn't give her enough credit, but she's capable of payback, of course. She's capable. She's very smart. She's, you know, the novel, you know, started out with first, and then she saw City on Foot, and she saw this woman that she didn't have. And I'm like, man, she's not any other, like any other white woman around here. You know, I didn't have to, you know, do any payback stuff or even I don't have to give her a shot.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
And so you two share the screen time, you know, most of them together. So what do you hope the audience to get out of the, you know, the interaction between your two characters?
Well, I think what I really hope is that the audience sees that even though they're from two different worlds, in Minnie's mind, because actually they're not. You know, so you grew up, and I'll let Jessica talk about that, but in Minnie's mind, they're from two different worlds, and because of that, they should not have a relationship. But because of Jessica's character, the character of Celia that she plays, she was undaunted by the societal rules and was determined to befriend this woman. And I think Celia made it possible for Minnie to start having an open mind, because her interactions with white people had all been the same. One white person represented all of them. And then she meets Celia, and I think because of her interactions with Celia, she was open-minded to what Skeeter was doing.
It's interesting, too, because I think Celia's interactions with Minnie helped Celia stand up to Hilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, Celia comes from Sugar Ridge, Tennessee, which in the 1960s and the 1950s is predominantly African-American, and it's one of the poorest areas in the United States. So Celia is completely colorblind. She doesn't see, you know, her friends growing up, you know, she doesn't see, like, white people have to be together, black people have to be together. And that's something I found. I actually went to Sugar Ridge. Modern-day Sugar Ridge is very different than 1960s Sugar Ridge. But, yeah, what I love so much about the relationship is that, you know, the movie's there's a lot about civil rights and discrimination, but Celia's discriminated against. So Celia and Minnie are very similar that way. Celia's discriminated against from this group of women, but then she's also, in the beginning, discriminated against with Minnie, even.
Mm-hmm.
With Minnie not wanting to hug her, not wanting to have lunch with her, all these things because she's white.
Right.
And so I love the arc that our characters go through. It's like the softness finds strength, and then the I won't say the hardness, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, the harsh.
Yeah, finds softness.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think I'm just, as you were saying that, I'm reminded of an Emerson quote. He said, "Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path, but leave a trail." I think all of these women, Abilene, Skeeter, Minnie, Celia, even Hilly, they were all trailblazers of their time. And were it not for these types of relationships, we wouldn't be able to have this conversation.
I'm sorry to segue, but something's just sort of jump out at me, and I'm seeing, I'm looking at the trials and tribulations of a trailer crash.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you can tell me about that and where you're going.
It's a play that was turned into a film, and it's about spousal abuse. I am one of the trailer trash women. it's hard to believe I know playing trailer trash.
You're in the play and the movie.
I was in the play and the movie.
And then, so that's coming out, or is it?
It'll be out. It's an independent, so you never really know. But they're hoping to be out in March of 2012.
And who's in it with you?
Dale Dickey, who won the Independent Spirit Award for Winter's Bone, Beth Grant, who is in everything, and I'm trying to think of, you know, it's an unknown cast pretty much. We're all pretty virtually unknown. David Steen and Dale Dickey, Beth Grant, and me.
Well, the title implies a certain jocularity to the subject. I mean,
well, that's why we're trying to get in the change to just trailer trash. The trials and tribulations, it does have a lot of levity, but it's a very heavy, heavy movie. It's much like The Help, that there's, you know, pathos and humor, yeah.
Jessica, you mentioned the Texas Killing Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Not a comedy.
No. Yeah, musical about that comes out October 7th, the same day actually as Take Shelter, the other film. It won the Grand Prix in Critics Week at Cannes, Take Shelter. And Texas Killing Fields comes out the same day, and it's with Sam Worthington, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Chloe Moretz, and it's about the real life murders in Texas, where these fields where over the past 30 years 60 bodies were discovered.
I love that stuff. I'm sorry. I love it. Yes, I cannot wait to see it. I love murder and mayhem. I'm sorry. I think I might have been Sherlock Holmes in another life.
I actually heard your children's book is a mystery.
Yeah, it's a mystery. You guys are fun.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.